Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the Kalamcast podcast. With me is a very special guest. We have Sheikh Abdul Noor Wali. So would you like to greet the listeners, Sheikhna?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters. Jazakumullahu khair and thank you for joining us.
So a lot of our listeners don't really know much about you, as is the case with many of the guests that I've had on the podcast before. There are certain segments that know a certain personality, others may not. Now, how may you introduce yourself to our audience or to our listeners?
Jazakumullahu khairan, Sheikh Furqan. The Abdul Faqir, your brother, Abdul Noor Wali, the Imam of the Islamic Council of Victoria, the ICV. Been in the country for quite some time now, 25 years in Australia. Came from Somalia originally, studied back home, graduate of Al-Azhar University, Sharia wal-Qanun. I think that's enough about me.
No worries. So in any case, we've got a very qualified guest. We've got a sheikh with us. And how are you doing, sheikh, these days, by the way?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you, brother. You know, I think we all are doing well. Alhamdulillah. It become a little bit better than we were afraid at the beginning of these situations. But it seems that things are, alhamdulillah, better.
So you're going to be conducting khutbahs very soon as usual, inshallah?
That is the intention, bidnillahi ta'ala, by maybe this coming Friday.
Restricting to 50 or so people?
It will be very hard to do it. But we're thinking of ways of doing that. Yes, inshallah ta'ala, maybe doing it 60, because we've got 3 followers, maybe more than that,
so
depending on the number.
Be a brother at the front of the masjid with a clipboard, basically.
Yes, or maybe asking people to have tickets and book in advance.
It's
going
to be interesting.
We'll see what happens. Jum'ah with prior bookings.
Maybe. Interesting to see what happens, inshallah. But in any case, you're not necessarily joining us to talk about the pandemic. You're going to talk to us about a topic which I understand you're very passionate about, and that is the psychology of adhkar. Now, what can you tell us about this particular topic?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Sheikh Furqan, thank you. Let me maybe take a little bit steps back. When I look at our religion and look at the messages from heaven Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to his messengers and prophets in general, I found it that they all have one big goal, and that goal is to change people to the better. So if you are good, it makes you better. If you are bad, it makes that's the whole goal, all the risalat samawiya. And the detail is everything that the Sharia teaches us, our religion teaches us, also plays role in that change, the positive change that was the Sharia wants to achieve. So the Arkan of Islam, when you look at them, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And when it comes to the fasting, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So when you look at that goal, and then I was thinking about the dhikr itself. Does it play that role, or it's just the chants we make, or maybe sometimes it has maybe blessings of protection from shaitan or other things and the ajr. But does it actually contribute to that goal of changing? And I found that yes, absolutely. In fact, it goes to the heart of the change that the Sharia wants to achieve and the reform we want to achieve, that the dhikr goes to that heart. And from several aspects when you look at them. But before I really go to that, I found that the reason why the Sharia commands the dhikr so much in the Quran and the Hadith, it's not only to give us the ajr, it's actually to change us. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allah dhikran kathira wa sabbihuhu bukratan wa asila huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatuhu liyukhrijakum min al-dhulumati ila al-nur wa kana bil mu'minina rahima. So immediately after the command, you see that the consequence, the goal is that Allah wants to come out of is that liyukhrijakum min al-dhulumati ila al-nur. That change. You have to change. And also in another hadith, in a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the rough translation, shouldn't I tell you and teach you something? The best deeds you can do, which is better than giving the gold and silver, and even better than you meeting your enemies and having jihad. And then the companion said, Ya Rasulallah, yes, teach us. And then he says, Dhikrullah. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So putting these and other hadiths, like the hadith of where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to him and said, Ya Rasulallah, in sha'air al-Islami kathurat alay. The sha'air of the Islam is too much for me. There's too many of them. So teach me one of them that I can stick to it. فَعَلِّمْنِي شَيْئًا أَتَشَبَّثُ بِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So put all this together and the focus and the goal. I thought, how does two work together? And today, inshallah ta'ala, if you allow me, Shaykh Furqan, I just want to use two aspects of the adhkar. And the first dhikr is the dhikr we make when we wake up. And the other dhikr is the one we do, the last thing we do when we are in bed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us. So the first one is when the Muslim opens his eyes, he says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Which is a rough translation is that all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave us life after we were dead, or similar to death because we were asleep. Wa ilayhi nushur, and to him we will return. So when you look at this hadith, the first thing of this dua, which is all, it's authentic, it's in the Bukhari, it's hadith is authentic. You will see that the Muslim starts with being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing, gratitude. Starting the day with positivity. It's something that psychologically, and thanks to you for saying the psychology of the dhikri, the psychologists try to treat people with that positive attitude towards life in general, and showing the positive aspects of life. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us to start every day with positivity. Alhamdulillah. But that's not the only thing. Immediately, the death and the resurrection come. These are the hereafter, the things we believe, the motive is as al-imanu bil-akhirah immediately comes, which is the mouth, the death and the life after death, immediately are mentioned in this. So it brings back to the stages we go through as a Muslims. So what does this do is familiarizes death to you. It brings closer to you. It makes you understand it happiness. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi la tamutunna kama tanamun, wa la tub'athunna kama tastayqidun. So death is very similar to just, you know, sleeping. And resurrection is similar to being waking up after you have been asleep. So, and I think it takes that fear away from it, and it makes you focus on what you do rather than being afraid of the death itself, which is going to happen. And it makes you focus on what you do. And it's exactly the same way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when somebody asked him, Ya Rasulallah, mata sa'ah, when is the hour? The question was, Mada a'adatta laha? What do you prepare for it? And that means, so I think what it does, the psychology here is, A, start your day with a positive attitude, which is good for you, for your health, for your mental well-being, for everything. But at the same time, it prepares you for the things that can happen and bigger, which is death. I think, الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا بَعْدَ مَا أَمَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. And I think with that also comes that the acceptance that even that you sleep and wake up is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are submitting to Allah azza wa jalla and allowing that He's in control. So you do your obligation, but Allah is in control. And you allowing that if things go against what you wanted to do or you wished to do, then it's the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَكُلُّ مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ جَمِيلٌ. And everything Allah Azza wa Jalla does is beautiful. And you accept it. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So what I'm trying here to say is أَرَضَاءُ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَدْرِ. It's not only accepting, it's actually being happy and pleased. So that is the first part of the morning.
Mm.
And then the afternoon.
I think you've taken us already on a bit of a journey with regards to your explanation, and that's an amazing thing. I think one of the things that I got out of that explanation was that there is some degree of self-programming that is taking place even with these adhkar. We are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are also reminding ourselves of the true path that we need to follow.
I think that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended when he was given as this, and Shari' subhanahu wa ta'ala was given this word is to worship Allah azza wa jalla and make it this adhkar. There are many words, and some you can wonder, there are so many adhkar, but Allah azza wa jalla selected some of them in different times. For example, in the salat, all our movements, we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We don't say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. We don't say Subhana. So there has to be some secret in there. And in the same way, I would say Alhamdulillah الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. There has to be a secret. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give us and say, okay, when you wake up, this is what you say. And similarly, when you are going to bed, in a hadith in the Bukhari and the Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says and teaches us to say, Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayk, wa fawwadtu amri ilayk, wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayk, wa alja'tu dhahri ilayk, raghbatan wa rahbatan ilayk, la malja'a wa la manja'a minka illa ilayk, amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalta wa bin nabiyika alladhi arsalta, and many other adhkar. But the same thing when you look at it, again, you are going to this area where you are not in, even the relative control you had, you lose when you sleep. You don't have that even control. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says when you go to bed and you wake up, you need to wash your hands and make wudu, because you don't know where your hands are. We don't know what's happening when we sleep. So, and you could lose life during that. In this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us in many levels. One, you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is in control anyway. But what you are doing when you are saying, Allahumma inni, Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayk, I submit myself to you. وَوَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِي إِلَيْكَ, I turn my face towards you. وَفَوَّضْتُ أَمْرِي إِلَيْكَ, all my affairs I put in your hands. وَأَلْجَأْتُ ذَهْرِي إِلَيْكَ, I seek refuge in you. When you do that, and then you know who are you saying to this? The first thing is that this communication, you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself, you're directly talking to Allah azza wa jalla, and then you are putting all your needs towards Him with His power subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you go into this territory that you don't know what is happening, and always there is a fear of unknowing. As a human being, we don't like the unknown. We would like to know everything. We are going to unknowing. That psychologically, it gives you that protection that you said and actually gave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you live with Allah azza wa jalla. So you can sleep with ease. And interestingly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, make it the last thing you say. So all you other adhkar, read it. These are the last things. So apart from the ajr, is again that communication, that psychological thinking, and that power. And if the person understands this again, It's the complete submission. It's the same thing when you wake up. You go into bed with complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allowing and understanding that He is in control. And with that, you will have peace. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in Surah Al-Ra'd, where He says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. So here we're talking about the impact of that dhikr. It actually makes you at peace. You feel positive, you're at peace. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. And bi'idhnillah ta'ala, the people around you will feel that you will be elevated, your nafs will be elevated from nafs amara bisu, from nafs lawama to nafs mutma'inna, because there you reached that level of itminan when you feel that you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أنا عند ذن عبدي بي وأنا معه حين يذكرني. So when you mention Allah Azza wa Jalla in your bed, when you go in, and you mention when you wake up, that company of Allah Azza wa Jalla is what you are feeling. And that will come back, the mentioning of Allah to you when He mentioned it, that will come back, blessings on you. And then you feel at peace.
Mm. Sheikh, I imagine there's a number of people, reverts and people who are coming to the faith from a different background. They find this task of memorizing adhkar very challenging. And perhaps they are motivated by what it is that you are saying, but they still nonetheless have this difficulty in memorizing and saying these words. What would you advise such people?
Two things. I think bifadlillahi wa awnihi, our scholars have discussed this already. So if the person has difficulty memorizing it in Arabic, then translating it to the language they know until they reach. I'm not saying you have to always just read in our own language. I think you need to move. All the majority of the scholars, even the Arabic language scholars in the Muslim world, whether either bilingual or multilingual. So Sibawayh rahmatullahi alayh, Sheikh Abi Hamad al-Ghazali.
So there's no excuse, basically.
I'm saying don't stay there forever. Move from it. But in the early years and in the early days when you are really moving forward, then definitely you can translate it and say it in that language. Because what you are getting is that feeling, you're getting that connection, that connectivity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, I think, is the most important, that your heart will be attached to the dhikr of Allah, to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you feel it. And bi'idhnillah ta'ala, when you learn the Arabic language and memorize, you will have the blessings of doing in the weirdest, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Because whatever has been narrated from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would like to say it in the way he did it. Mm. And he taught us.
During this current pandemic, we're facing a situation where a lot of families have their young children at home and they're teaching their young children at home. And this, in many ways, is a golden opportunity for them to learn more adhkar, more dua, etc. and so forth. What would you advise towards parents?
You absolutely raised a good point. Every time Allah Azza wa Jalla takes something away, He gives something. And maybe we lost going to the mosques in congregation, but what we got instead, bifadlillah, we have a lot of time with our children and families. We didn't have that before. We spend the time with our families. So, as you said, it's a golden opportunity and still continues to be a golden opportunity. It's an opportunity in terms of using this as getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. When you reflect on that ayah, you will see why lilmuttaqina imaman. The parents are saying, make us leaders for the pious people. The first people who copy you are your children. They will follow you steps. So teaching them by example, showing them. I had an opportunity on the Eid day to sit down with my children and actually go through with them. Why do we read Surah Al-A'la? Why do we read Surah Al-Ghashiyah? What does this adhkar mean? What are these actual terms? What does Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, what does that mean? La ilaha illallah, wa la na'budu illa iyyahu mukhlisin al-hud. What does these words mean? Because it's Arabic terms and they memorize it. So it's a time actually not only to teach them and make them memorize, but actually to tell them the meaning and so and the feeling. It's not only the meaning, try to convey the feeling for them. Because our deen is not only reading, it's not only chanting, it's a connection, it's a feeling. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Hadith al-Quds, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلَ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. So when you do the adhkar and do the ibadat, you will reach the level that Allah Azza wa Jalla will love you. That love.
One of the nails that you're basically hitting on the head is that there needs to be a strong spiritual connection when we talk about our religion. A lot of people, sometimes youngsters, when they begin to follow the religion, there's a lot of rigidity attached to it, such as literal interpretations, taking from literal interpretations, and the spirituality becomes lost, basically.
I think it's one of the unfortunate is that with the material world, that everything has to be understood materialistically, and some things can be felt best, but could not be explained. And I think this is one of them, that the adhkar, when you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes there is a taste that you cannot even explain. And that's what Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said and has been narrated in many different ways. Find the sweetness of the adhkar in the salat, in the Quran. And if you couldn't find it, then your door is closed. So what he says to you is that even though you are doing the rituals, if you don't have the feeling, something is missing seriously. So I think you are right. What I'm trying to say is that the adhkar we recite have a bigger message than for you to go to bed and then you say, okay, you are protected bidnillahi ta'ala from the shaitan and from the jinn, which unfortunately these days we have a lot of problem with the jinn and sihr and all these things. But in addition to that, it's actually you deen, it's you iman. What these adhkar are talking about is the real iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our faith. It's a reminder of your faith, because at the end you say amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalt, I believe in the kitab you have revealed, wa nabiyyika alladhi arsalt, and the messenger you have sent, I believe in them. And if you die on that, you will die with the fitrah. So it's a reminder of the whole Islamic religion. It has been summarized in this adhkar, which we are reading. But if we reflect, we're actually doing more than reading. We are talking about aqidah, ibadah, everything, akhlaq in the adhkar.
I'm intrigued by something that you said with regards to jinn and sihr, that we have a lot of it in our time. I think this is actually a topic that we might need to discuss in a future episode, inshallah.
Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, inshallah, we'll find a sheikh that's better than me in doing that. But I think it's one of the hot topics that I really definitely think the ulama need to step up and cover this problem, because there are people who are making a lot of money and destroying relationships and I've had no qualifications and no knowledge, but that's just been driven by greed and money and destroying relationships. And I think it's overdue, long overdue, that we need to step and talk to the community about these issues.
I think that'll be definitely be a future episode at one stage. But in any case, whilst we still have you and this amazing topic that you're sharing with us, what is something that you could leave our listeners with?
One thing I would like to leave with the listeners is that the dhikr, if you don't get anything, But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions you. Ubay ibn Ka'ab, radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of the Taraweeh prayers during Umar's time, as we know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him and he said to him, Ubay, Allah azza wa jalla commanded me to recite the Quran on you. And Ubay said, Ya Rasulallah, who was Ammani? Did Allah Azza wa Jalla mention me in name? So imagine Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioning you in name because you said Subhanallah, because you said Alhamdulillah. Something so simple, so easy. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions you by himself or with his angels. Who, if you mention me, If you mention Allah Azza wa Jalla in front of the people, in front of the Muslims, we may hear, but maybe a small number of us will encourage you or even make istighfar for you. But when the angels hear you mentioning Allah Azza wa Jalla and Allah mentions, they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. So Allah will do that in front of the angels or with him. If you get nothing but that, what could be better? So Al-Izz ibn Abd Salam rahmatullahi alayhi says this, the dhikr is one of the exemptions of the golden rule that the rewards will be based on the difficulties. Sometimes smaller actions will be rewarded higher, and the dhikr is one of them. So كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن. Only two words, سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. 3 minutes, رحمة الله عليه الشيخ عبد العظيم, I think he timed it and he found it's very short time, you can say 100 times. So what I would like to say is 2 things. Make dhikr, a lot of dhikr. Try to have your heart presence when you're making the dhikr. So when you are talking to Allah and saying, oh, Allahumma inni Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayka wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayka, you directly talking to Allah Azza wa Jal. If your heart is not there, I don't know. It doesn't look good.
In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In front of Allah Azza wa Jal.
So that, I think that is a beautiful way for us to conclude this particular episode of ours. I thank you, Sheikh Abdul Nur, for attending this particular session and sharing your wisdom with us. I understand the Sheikh has got to pick up his kids very soon. So again, this is a wonderful place to end this particular podcast. We thank you, the listeners, for listening. Jazakumullahu khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.